But I'm here, I'm going to be preaching on the 23rd Psalm. And I always found it quite ironic that the Lord, who is our shepherd, chose King David, who was a shepherd, to talk to us about shepherds. So in the 23rd Psalm, David wrote this poem, but I also believe he wrote it as partially as a prayer. And it reminds me of an incident that happened to me here in Warner Robins. I was at my favorite toy store before it closed. That would be Lifeway Christian Bookstore for any of y'all. And I was sitting there, and I had the young clerk was about 2 foot from me, and I was looking at some books, and she was just asking if I had something particular I was looking for, and like always, no, I don't know what I'm doing. But this elderly lady had walked in and walked over to the clerk, and she had asked her, "Do you have any books on praying?" And the young clerk said, "Well, is there a particular subject or author or something that you're wanting to know about prayer?" And the woman, who's obviously my age or older, we'll just leave it at that, said, "No, I just don't think anybody's ever taught me how to pray to God." And it gave the young clerk kind of a deer in the headlights look. She in no way was demeaning. It just kind of caught her off guard. So I kind of stepped over and introduced myself and asked if I gave some suggestions, and they were like, "Oh, please do." So I was telling the woman that we have the Lord's Prayer, of course, but that there's no set format or formula for praying, that we're just to tell God what is on our heart. So I pulled up on my cell phone a video of Walter Brennan. I know some of you won't know who Walter Brennan is, but it's called The Farmer and the Lord. And Walter Brennan narrates how he came upon a farmer who was talking to the Lord just like he was talking to a friend. So that's simply what I told her. And that seemed to comfort her and let her know that there's no special formula. But it also let me know that there have been opportunities in my life, I know, where after I've talked with someone and I've walked away, I was like, "Oh, why didn't I pray with that person, or why didn't I lead that person?" But it gave me comfort to know that I did lead this elderly woman, or my age, and gave her some comfort. So 23rd Psalm has 6 verses, but out of those verses, it's broken up into about 11 different segments. So I want to go into those 11 segments and kind of go a little bit deeper than what we just read in there. The 23rd Psalm is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. David's Psalm 23 shows us how caring and dependable God is in meeting all our needs, if we'll let him. It is said that the ancient road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a narrow, treacherous path along a deep gorge in the Judean wilderness. Its name is Wadi Kelt. Wadi Kelt means a dry bedstream trail, or a trail that takes you to water. But it is best known as the Valley of the Shadow. And this is the location that inspired David's psalm. But let me tell you, the place itself offers little reason to compose such a hopeful poem. The landscape's bleak, barren, and it is perilously steep. It's a good place for thieves, but not for anyone else. And it's been stated that when David wrote, "Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil," he was actually in a place where evil was ever-present reality. Yet, he refused to give in to that fear. He wasn't under any delusion or ideology that God was going to abolish the evil so that he could just pass safely. Not at all. He was saying that the presence of God with him gave him the confidence to pass through difficult places without fear of God deserting or leaving him. Hopefully you have these pictures in your program today. I took this picture. I know Dallas was in Israel just over a year ago last February. My wife and I, we visited Israel back in November of last year. And Dallas and I were comparing our itineraries, and there were things on his itinerary that I wish we got to stop at. But this is one thing that on our itinerary, Dallas, he kind of wished he could have done. We took a 4x4 Jeep ride into the Judean desert. Now, on the surface of it, I was like, okay, going to see a desert. But we ended up our final day toward the evening, we actually ended up at the top of the Valley of the Shadow, which made me just reflect on the 23rd Psalm. And it is bleak and it is barren. But the other thing that I also realized is as we were going out there, we saw a car that had been set on fire and burnt out. So we talked to our tour guide. And basically he told us it was still a treacherous place, that there were people that would steal cars in the city, drive them out to the desert, and when they broke down or ran out of gas, they just literally set it on fire. So it's still kind of a treacherous place today. Many of us claim to have hope, but only those who trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior can claim it for certainty. Hope comes from the Lord. No other place. It doesn't come from our own strength, our own abilities. As maker of heaven and earth, he alone has the right to promise hope and the power to keep his promise. So when we walk through our valley, when we feel swallowed up by the shadow and we come face to face with fear, we need to sometimes realize we haven't given our all over to Christ. But sometimes we also have to remember the gloom and despair of an emptiness of the loss of a loved one can threaten our comfort that we've had in God, which then leads us to growing afraid. We're human beings. We're going to have these things. We become afraid of our future, and then we're afraid to enjoy life. Yet, when we are in the valley of the shadow, we can say to the Lord, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." His loving arms will never let us go. He is always with us, even when we don't know it, even if we don't see it taking place. We know his strength and his protection is with us. The Lord provides comfort and escape from the darkness of the valley. He gives us the light and then he leads us out of that darkness. At the point of our greatest need, the Lord is beside us, comforting us, protecting us. David's psalm points out something in the way that he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Instinctively, sheep know the shepherd, especially his voice. They know that the shepherd has made plans for their grazing today, tomorrow, and the next day. So it can lay down at night with contentment that it will get fed each day. The sheep sleep without fear, anxiety, or distress of where their next meal may come from. Notice this psalm doesn't ask God for anything. It's not, you know, it doesn't begin with asking God for something. Rather, it opens with the calm statement of fact, and that fact is, the Lord is our shepherd. We do not have to beg God for things. He provides when we trust in Him fully. The Apostle Paul puts it very similarly in Philippians 4, verse 19, where he writes, "My God shall supply all your needs." Well, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So isn't it interesting, of all the authors in the Bibles, that David and the Apostle Paul say the same thing, but differently? So with that faith, we can work today without worrying about tomorrow. Because Paul also writes in Philippians 4:14, "You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. So why are we worrying about it? He makes me lie down in green pastures." Think about if you suddenly ended up in the hospital and the doctor told you, clear your calendar for the next month or so. And I know we do have people at Harmony going through such ordeals. Think about the words from the 23rd Psalm through all those six verses. Then think about this for a minute. The shepherd, he starts the sheep grazing at about 4 a.m. And they graze and graze, and they are never still. And I know you've experienced days where from the moment you woke up till you dropped in the bed, you were go, 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 never resting, never having a minute to yourself to be still, which means you probably didn't have time to talk to God. By 10 a.m., the sun is bearing down on the sheep. They are tired and thirsty. And the wise shepherd knows that the sheep must not drink water when it is hot and its stomach is full of grass. So the shepherd makes the sheep lie down in green pastures where it is soft and cool. The sheep will not eat lying down. So they'll chew their cud, which is nature's way of them digesting their food. So if you study the lives of great people in this world, past and present, you will find most of them drew apart from the hurry of life for rest and reflection. I know reading on Billy Graham, it always dawned on me how much time that he would at least build in to just rest and reflect in prayer. And we have to remember to do that. Because our best visions of God come when we stop doing stuff and just sit still. Sometimes God puts us on our back to give us a chance to look up. Many times people are forced by this circumstance to lie down, which after they've gone through the experience, we'll say it was a blessed experience in the overall picture because it gave them time to rest and reflect on the Lord. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep are very timid creatures and is especially afraid of swiftly running water. And sheep have really good reason to fear. They're poor swimmers with their heavy wool coat. It's just like if you and I were trying to swim with a trench coat on. So instinctively, sheep know they cannot swim in swift running waters. Sheep will not even drink from a running stream. They will only drink from still waters. And the shepherd does not force the sheep, just as our shepherd will not force us. But instead, the shepherd leads them across mountains and valleys, all the while on the lookout for still waters so that the sheep can drink. If there are no still waters found, the shepherd again will have the sheep lie down and rest. Then he'll go and gather some rocks and then a small, swiftly running stream. He will build a dam so that he can make a pool of still waters for the sheep to feel safe to drink from. God knows our limitations, and he doesn't condemn us for it. Just because we have weaknesses? No, not at all. He does not force us to go where we cannot go safely or feel safely going through. No. Instead, he constantly ministers to our needs as long as we'll turn to him. We must be obedient and lean on him first and foremost in everything. That should give us confidence that God relieves our tensions in life. This definitely should bring a pleasing knowledge that we can surrender and trust that God enables us to face the heat of the day confidently, even with that bad boss. Amen. I'm telling you. The human mind is like the human body. It can be wounded. But David tells us that God, well, he restores my soul. Why does he do this? Well, I'm here to tell you, God does not reveal every detail of his plan for our lives. Deuteronomy 29:29, well, that's my favorite Old Testament verse. One is probably because I can easily remember the number 29:29. But what it tells us is the Lord our God has secrets known to no man, and we are not responsible for those. But we are responsible for what he has revealed to us. So nevertheless, there is an inner assurance that comes with giving ourselves over to his will. He does this to prevent us from allowing the wounds to be filled with bitterness, self-pity, or resentment. An old Irish folk tale tells about a gentleman that was walking down the road with a large, heavy bag of potatoes. A horse-drawn wagon pulls up, and the driver invites the man to get on, and give him a ride to where he's going, his destination. So they take off a little bit, and the driver looks over, and the man is still holding on to this heavy sack of potatoes. So the driver invites him to take the load off. Go ahead and put the potatoes down in the wagon. But the man looks at the driver and he says, "No, thank you. I've already burdened you enough for the ride. I'll hold on to the potatoes." Now, if you're like me, you'd think that's silly. But then reflect on it for a minute. Don't we hold on to grudges or problems or just everyday things in life that end up building a bitterness or self-pity or resentment in our hearts? We need to quit doing that. We need to remember to hand it over. Put it on his yoke. The sheep start each day in a particular line, and they stay that way pretty much. Now, they're not in a straight line. They meander. But they pretty much stay in that order all day long. The only time that they leave that order is when the shepherd calls them over, who one by one will rub their ears and their nose and face just to let them know he's there for them, of each of the sheep. Reassured and encouraged, the sheep takes its place back in line. Just like a human watch, our human spirit can run down, which means we are less of a crusader for Christ. But God revives life in each of us if we allow him to. We need to quit carrying that sack of potatoes. Give the burden to God. Each day we are faced with a spiritual fork in the road. Every day there are decisions that we have to make. To prevent us from getting lost, we must remember, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need this reminder because we are the sheep. And unlike any other animal, sheep have no sense of direction. Is your life a red carpet treatment or a bed of roses every day? Of course not. Yet even though God does not promise us an easy or effortless life, He does promise us strength, and He promises to go through it with us. Of all the trials in our life, we just need to walk with Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Henry Ward Beecher, he's an old congregational minister, I believe from the 1800s, but he said of the 23rd Psalm that it is the nightingale of the entire book of Psalms. The nightingale bird sings its sweetest when the night is its darkest. So when you are in your darkest gloom of worldly struggles, it is best to find a quiet place, quit struggling for a little while at least, and let the nightingale talk to you. It is a marvelous feeling when the presence of God comes upon you at this time of silence. You know, each of us hopefully have experienced that, and we'll experience it again in the future. So what David is telling us is not to be afraid. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep, well, it's a helpless animal. It has no weapon or self-defense mechanisms to fight against a predator. It's easy prey, just as we are easy prey for Satan. But the shepherd carries a rod, and it's a heavy club, and it's about 2 to 3 foot long. He also carries a staff that's about 4 to 8 foot long, and it has crooked end at the top. With this staff, the shepherd, of course, uses it to walk, reaches out to guide the sheep, and to kill snakes if needed. He would also use it to reach down and put the crooked end under the small sheep's chest and lift it to safety if it had slipped down on a ledge while traversing one of the valleys or the mountains. So the sheep are instinctively comforted by the shepherd's rod and staff. They know that the shepherd will be able to meet any emergency. And if we stick to the Word of God, He's given us that for our emergencies as well. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the Holy Land, there grew some poisonous plants, thorny bushes, that were the enemy of the sheep. I mean, it is poisonous. So each spring, the shepherds would dig up these poisonous, thorny bushes and pile them up to burn. Thus, the pasture was made safe for the sheep, but it was basically a kind of a table of this poisonous plant in the presence of the sheep. It was also comforting to David that this statement would have God protect and give him power so he could feast in safety and security, even though he himself was surrounded by his enemies. The shepherd did this for the sheep, which made the grazing area no longer dangerous. We must do this for our children. We must protect our children from drugs, obscenities of life, ungodliness in today's society of political correctness run amok, where sin is now actually rejoiced instead of reprimanded. We must constantly be crusaders against the enemies of life. We must constantly preach the gospel, but it's not enough to others or our children. We must destroy the enemies trying to destroy our families from following God's word. And there is no more powerful weapon than the power of prayer. We have to do this individually, corporately, and as family. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Any good football coach will tell his players that football's like life. If you're going to play it, you're going to get hurt. So it is with life. You have to expect some bumps, bruises, and hurts along the way. Sheep would sometimes get cut by sharp rocks when they're traversing the mountains and the valleys. Some days the sheep would walk hot, steep paths in the merciless sun. And at the end of the day, it was tired and spent. So the shepherd would stand at the door of the fold, and he would examine each sheep one by one as they came in. If they were hurt, the shepherd would anoint their head with this soothing, healing oil to the sheep. And then he would reach down a big cup into refreshing water and bring it out and let the sheep drink from this life-quenching cup of water. So just as God shepherds us, he knows our hurts and our pains. These discouragements of life are things we must place in God's hands. Remember, Jesus said, my yoke is light. We are to place our burdens on his yoke, our problems. Again, it's not going to be an effortless life, but he is there to be with us. The Lord is there to minister to our hurts and our wounds. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Many people have a tendency to feel ill or that something bad is going to happen to them each and every day. They fill their minds with the thought of being sick, especially if they Google WebMD. My God, I mean, I'm not going to put that in my mind. I said in the first service, it's like going to, you know, instead of going to Whitaker Dentistry, you do dentistry on yourself. I ain't doing it. Not going to happen. But they start this day, each day, with this dreaded feeling. They look at the day with fear. God is there to help us and keep us and overcome these bad feelings. He's there to help us to develop a positive outlook for each day in our life. We need to quit predicting disaster, and we need to remember Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We must begin each morning with hope. Hope only comes from the Lord, so we must begin each day going to the Lord. We must plant firmly in our minds, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When we do this, it surely will. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes the greatest inspiration for living comes when your mind finally lets go of that unbearable past. As God's goodness and mercy reigns in all of us that draw near to him, he will draw near to us, as James tells us in 4 verse 8. But we have to take that first step toward him. And then the mercies and the grace that he bestows upon us when we do that. Just knowing God intimately, like the 23rd Psalm shows us, we have the assurance that as the last day of our life comes to a close, we will go home to be with him. We are to know the shepherd, because the shepherd knows each and every one of his sheep one by one. My wife and I, we came to Harmony in 2018. So the 2018 Harmony Thanksgiving dinner was our first Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. Brother Terry sat up here, and we passed the microphone around, and everyone that wanted to could tell what they were thankful for or felt blessed for. So when it came my turn, I said that my wife and I were just very blessed to have been led here to Harmony to serve. We've been to many, many churches in the area, and believe me, it was God ordained to lead us here. But I also said, it took me 2 to 3 years to remember my kids' names, so it's going to take me 4 or 5 years to remember y'all's. That's going to take more like 5, I think. And I talked to Terry. I told him we need name tag Sunday because I'm not a smart man. So we'll see if he comes up and wants to do that or not. God refreshes our souls spiritually and emotionally. His loving care puts our minds at ease. The 23rd Psalm is still beloved today more so than it ever was. It tells us that above all our troubles, conflicts, and frictions and dissensions in our life, we know that the shepherd is there amongst all the weaknesses that we have. For many of you, it is hard to let go of the past, whether it be your hurts or your sins. You feel beyond help and feel God's grace does not include you. So think about King David for a moment. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he had her husband Uriah killed in battle by leaving him unprotected. Yet, David turned to God for forgiveness and grace and repentance. In fact, David shows that even after bad decisions, he relied on God in all things. Now, think about the Apostle Peter for a minute. The disciple Peter denied Jesus 3 times, only hours before he had told Jesus that he was willing to die for him. The realization of Peter's failures was a crushing blow on him. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus gave Peter a chance to declare his love for him 3 times. Once for each denial that Peter had. Then with each declaration, Jesus charged Peter to take care of his sheep. Due to the result of Jesus' stunning grace, Peter went on to be a key player in building the church. And he ultimately did give his life for Christ. Each of us could begin by telling others the list of our failures and defeats. But accepting God's grace always allows for a different ending. He redeems and he transforms us. In the 23rd Psalm, we know we are the sheep. And David expresses the longing soul for the continual presence of God in our life. Not when it's just convenient for us, but continual presence. David knew that God transforms us from sinners to saints. And we know that we are to live with the restoring power of the cross. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for taking our burdens, being there to anoint our head, giving us the strength, the power, the comfort, and the guidance we need. Always guide our hearts so that we understand to lean on you and not on ourselves. Make us understand that it is not our will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.